Welcome to your weekly English radio magazine on CJMQ 88.9 FM in Sherbrooke and CIDI 99.1 FM in the Lake Brome area. It's the Friday Drive, news commentary, 30-30 sports, arts and culture, and the interview of the week. Local events and issues for townshippers from townshippers. The Friday Drive starts right now with your host, Daniel Coulomb. 30-30 Sports on the Friday Drive.
Just after 4:30, starting the show with the great Bob Halsall, legend at Alexander Galt and quickly becoming a legend as well on the radio. Trust you're doing well this week.
We are doing well, and we're ready to rock and roll here.
Good for you, and good for us. Let's start with your thoughts pertaining to Week 16 in the NFL.
Well, there's some big games coming up, I tell you. The Vikings, who are 12-2, and that's a surprise 12-2 this year. They're playing Seattle. It sounds like a mismatch in a way, but Seattle needs the win because they're tied for first place right now. They met earlier in the season. Minnesota won that game. The Lions are playing the Bears. The Lions should win that game, and if the Seattle wins, it'll be a tight race. Steelers are playing Baltimore. Steelers 10-4 in their division, Baltimore 9-5. First place is on the line between those two teams, so it's a must-win situation. Kansas City Chiefs, of course, everybody knows who they are, and if they don't, they better start watching TV. They're taking on the Houston Texans, and the Texans really want a win themselves, but I don't know if they can get by the Chiefs. It's a tough one. The Bills are in first place in their division. Chiefs first place. Eagles 12-2. Rams and Seahawks are at 8-6. So it's a tight battle. And there's going to be some great games, not just this weekend, but on Christmas Day, if you've had enough turkey and the wife kicks you out of the kitchen, well, go into the living room and there's a couple big games, the Chiefs and Steelers, Ravens and Texans. It's not easy for those players to come back, though. It's always a very, very tough situation, but they'll do it. They'll be ready.
Yeah, Kansas City is playing 3 games in 11 days, Bob.
Wow. Well, they're the only team that can do it, I guess.
I guess so. I really enjoy this time of year with the NFL because the Saturday games are starting this week as well. And then not only do they have games on Christmas Day, but on Boxing Day as well. So it's football wall to wall here.
Oh, yeah. People who love football, the Ian Brex type people, bless his soul, he's gone. But they would have loved to have all those games every day like that.
I guess. All right, Gators and Cougars, they've announced more players committed for next year, Bob.
Yeah, the Cougars have picked up 3 recruits, Samuel Dolan, Alexander Abaker, and Noah Monfett. Noah's 6'4", Alexander's 6'3", so they must be picking up some defensive linemen. BU has been recruiting again. They got Kenny Obar from Cégep de Drummondville and Matt Lavoie from the Cégep de Rimouski. Very little known on that subject because both Bishops and Champlain webmasters are down right now, but John will fill us in, I'm sure, come January on those deals.
There is no way that you're going to do this segment without talking Pipers.
No, and I got in heck a couple weeks ago because we talked about the educational part, not the hockey part. So last week, the Pipers played 4 games, the seniors on the weekend, 4 wins. They play tomorrow against Drummondville at noon. That's on Saturday. And they have won 18 games in a row now, so they'll be trying to make it 19-20 this weekend. The Bantams and the juniors, between them, they were 4-0. So the Pipers are looking good under Coach Robbie Fisk.
Who gave you heck?
Oh, a couple of players said, well, you told us you were going to talk hockey, but you didn't talk hockey. You only talked school.
It's a tough job, the one you've got, I'll tell you. Bob Halsall, we talk at 5:30.
Thank you.
Of course there's music, but we also talk about a lot of issues that matter to you. You're listening to The Friday Drive on CJMQ 88.9 FM and CIDI 99.1 FM.
Build a fire. Gather round the tree, fill a glass and maybe come and sing with me. Sing
So kiss me under the mistletoe.
Weekly News Review with longtime Townships journalist Mike McDevitt on the Friday Drive.
Well, it's that time of the week. I know you've been looking forward to this. Mike McDevitt, the Weekly News Review, one last time for 2024. How are you, Santa Mike?
Not too bad. That's a very bad nickname for me, but I'm doing all right.
Yeah, Grinch would probably be more appropriate.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go.
Well, you must be feeling better than Justin this week, I have to say. Bombshell news on Monday. Finance Minister Chrystia Freeland revealed she quit cabinet. In an explosive resignation letter published on Monday morning, Freeland ignited a storm of confusion and speculation on Parliament Hill. Same day, she was set to table her fall economic statement, a document that includes key economic metrics such as the size of Canada's deficit. She was none too happy with that so-called gimmick imposed on her to have the GST holiday and that $250 check thing. Freeland had promised a maximum of $40 billion over budget. The amount is now closer to $62 billion. Leaders from the Conservative Party and the Bloc have demanded an election. The NDP's leader has called on Trudeau to resign. Your view on what happened this week?
As I've been saying for a while, I think the chickens are coming home to roost here. Every prime minister has a shelf life, and Trudeau's has run out. It's as simple as that. Freeland was probably his greatest asset. And if he's smart, he'd take a long walk in the snow and come to a conclusion that his time is up, like his father did.
The main question, Mike, is what sort of boss tells you to give a disastrous economic outlook for Monday and says, oh, by the way, you're out and you've got a new position on Wednesday? I mean, come on.
disagreements between Freeland and Trudeau haven't been obvious. He wanted to demote her. She was a deputy prime minister, and finance minister is pretty important. That's an insult to her. She was his greatest asset. I don't think he can hold out for long unless he's trying to bring the entire Liberal Party down with him in the next election, which would be a shame because, unfortunately, people see the Conservatives as a reasonable option. And I, for one, don't. I think Poilievre would be a disaster, especially facing Donald Trump. I mean, he's copied his methods. Still haven't heard any policies from him. You got to read the writing on the wall, Justin. It's time.
Let's put things into perspective pertaining to Freeland. Now, many are calling her a victim. Don't think I'd go that far, Michael. She was selling that GST thing no more than 2 weeks ago.
But obviously she was selling it, but not agreeing with it. And I thought, that's a real cheap election ploy, that.
Say Justin quits tomorrow. Who in his right mind would want to take over the Liberal Party in this particular situation?
Carney.
You think he'd have a shot?
If he wanted it, I think he could have it for sure. He's got all the economic cred. I mean, he was the governor of the Bank of England, for God's sake, as well as the governor of the Bank of Canada. It would give the party some credibility.
Yeah, but here's the sub-question. Is it not too late?
No, it's not too late, but it's going to be real soon. If Trudeau gets out soon and gives the party a chance to reorganize and get together, maybe. It's in bad shape right now, and this doesn't help at all.
Boy, I tell you, this is not a political party right now. It looks more like the Keystone Cops, I tell you.
The sad state of affairs.
To be sure. All right, Statistics Canada released its most detailed portrait of how official language minority communities are faring across the country. In Quebec, Michael, surveys showed a third of Anglophones are hesitant to speak English in public, and more than a quarter of young Anglophones plan on leaving the province in the next 5 years. The survey found 31% of Anglos reported they felt hesitant or insecure to speak English, and in 36% of cases, they reported feeling discriminated against or unfairly treated based on language when they shop, go to the bank, or go to the workplace. You know, what this tells me, you don't have to go far, go back to 2006. Basically, the English-speaking community didn't really think of itself as a minority community, but it seems to do now.
There's a couple of things there. As far as I'm concerned, the English community has been a minority for quite some time. Yeah, it hasn't always acted as such. It's true. The fact that it admits it now is okay, perhaps a little bit of realism setting in. The other thing is I am more comfortable speaking English when shopping or doing anything else than I have been in years. So I remember like 1977 or 76 when, geez, you got told to shut up when you were speaking English. That doesn't happen anymore. Not least not to me. I don't hear that many stories from people that have been told or have been badly treated speaking English. In the health system, in most stores, people are more than happy to speak to me in English. I've been up to Best Buy a couple of times, and there's always those guys that were willing to speak English to me, or they run and find somebody who can. It's never a question. I don't even get a, you know, one of those, okay, if you insist type of looks. So I don't know what the heck is going on in the rest of the province. Again, personally, don't see that. 31% or whatever you're saying feel that way, okay.
Well, you go to Laval, you go to Montreal, and it's really become Anglophone, I have to say. Man, this week, 55,000 Canada Post employees returned to work. Canada is losing big money, but the union does not want to be flexible in what has become a flawed business model, Michael.
It's a tough one, really. Nobody wants to give up the rights that they're used to. Canada Post workers are amongst the best treated in this country in a long time, despite the fact that they're constantly at war with the government. I don't think Canada Post has been particularly compromising either. They're a flawed business model. They're not doing as well as they should be. But then again, you know, they don't deliver as many letters as they used to. They're delivering a lot of parcels. And the competition there is pretty hefty, and they've got to adjust to that. You know, Canada Post and its workers have been at war for a long time. I mean, the company goes 3 years without a contract before they're forced to negotiate a new one.
Yeah, well, a lot of people are saying shut them down. It's not that simple because there are a lot of remote communities up north that need, they absolutely depend on this.
The CBC, you know, it might lose money. No matter where you go in Canada, you can pick up the CBC radio station or the CBC television station. If it's defunded or privatized, that's not going to happen. And isolated communities are going to become more isolated than they've ever been before.
And unfortunately, that's the most expensive part of what Canada Post is.
It's a service. It's not supposed to make money, but it could try not to lose so much.
Yeah. Well, you don't want to lose billions of dollars every year. All right. No. This is the final show, 2024. The question is, what are your top three news stories of 2024, Michael?
I came up with two.
Okay.
Easily. And the third one, I'm not so sure about, but obviously the biggest story is Trump. It's unbelievable to me that that guy made a comeback, coming back even stronger than he's been before, selling obvious crap that isn't going to work. Everybody's going to suffer except billionaires like him, who constitute about 100% of his cabinet, by the way. A billion is an awful lot of money. And if you're a billionaire, your ability to even relate in the slightest degree to what normal people have to go through, if you think that's possible, I think you're dreaming. Trump talks about the price of groceries. You think he's ever been in a grocery store?
Yeah. And the irony, of course, is most of the people that voted for him are from outside the big cities.
People that voted for him are the ones that are going to be hit the hardest. Yep. And are going to be left with nothing.
By the way, shame on Time Magazine for naming him Person of the Year.
I disagree with that.
Okay.
It was obviously the biggest story of the year.
All right. What's your number two?
Taylor Swift.
Oh, man.
That woman, she's created a fan base that's almost cult-like. She just did a tour, 149 shows, 3.5 hour shows, by the way. Now, think of that. Think of playing football for 3.5 hours, full of energy. She's created little mini economies everywhere she goes. If it hadn't been for Trump, she would have been the biggest story of the year, as far as I'm concerned. It's hard to ignore the impact that that woman has had. Plus, she gave $170 million worth of bonuses to truck drivers, to her staff. Granted, there was an awful lot of people that were responsible for that tour. She had a fleet of trucks on the road at all times. Like one guy said, that bonus paid for my college.
I have to share my favorite, my most important event, the one that impressed me the most in 2024, Michael.
Okay.
Without a doubt, the eclipse.
That was amazing.
I was absolutely flabbergasted and blown away.
When we knew it was coming, I kept my optimism at bay a little bit because I've lived through an eclipse before, a total one. I was just a kid, and it was a cloudy day, and it wasn't that impressive. Fully expected it was going to be the same thing this time. But nope, the weather was beautiful, absolutely stunning event. I'd agree with you. That was amazing.
It was everything they said it would be and more.
Yeah.
Well, and so is Mike McDevitt, by the way.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. Let's be honest. Holidays looking good for you?
I've had a good time already. My youngest daughter was here with her kids. We had to celebrate with her a little early because they have another set of grandparents that have to be satisfied. The grandchildren are going to be there for Christmas. And I'm looking forward to another one this weekend with my eldest daughter, who couldn't make it last weekend, but she can this weekend. So, yeah, I'm pretty happy.
I tell you a lot, but I want you to absolutely register this in your brain. I'm so grateful for everything you do.
This has been quite a treat and a bonus, because like I said, I'm retired and it's easy for me to get bored. And once a week, I get to talk with you, shoot my mouth off, which, you know, I like. Thank you.
You do a good job at it. Thank you, and we see you in 3 weeks.
In 3 weeks, okay.
If you have any comments or questions regarding what you hear on today's show, email us at cjmqnews@yahoo.ca.
We were warm and wonderful once upon a time.
Something about the snow this time of year that makes us lose our way. Just say we'll make up and hold on a little longer. Don't have me spending it alone. This time of year is precious. Break my heart on Boxing Day, just please. Can we make it to Christmas?
Time for your weekly information from the Lake Brome, Missisquoi area on the Friday Drive.
Reporting from the Brome, Missisquoi region with stories for you from this week, it's the world-famous Taylor McClure. How are you this week?
I'm good, Daniel. How are you?
Very well. How are the holidays shaping up for you and your family?
They're looking busy, but I'm looking forward to seeing them all. That's for sure.
All right. And you are on break as of today. I just hope everything good for you. And I want to, again, make sure that you understand that I thank you so much for everything you do.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Daniel. I really enjoy doing the Friday Drive with you every week. So it's my pleasure.
All right. Let's start this week with the town of Brome Lake, the 2025 budget outlook.
Yeah, so the town of Brome Lake presented its 2025 budget forecast to the public on Monday. So there was lots of talk about residential tax rates, service tariffs, and projects that the municipality will be investing in over the next year. So just to give your listeners a brief summary of what was discussed, I spoke with Gilbert Arel, who is the general director of the town of Brome Lake, and he mentioned that the council reduced the residential tax rate by one of the largest amounts in recent years, from 61 cents to 42 cents per $100 of assessment, and the average increase for the tax bill for Brome Lake taxpayers is about 4%. So this was actually done as a result of the increase in the assessment roll that was announced in the fall, which saw values increase quite drastically. So to help mitigate that impact, the council decided to try to reduce the residential tax rate as much as possible. I know this can sound like mumbo jumbo to a lot of people, but please bear with me. And when it comes to services such as water, there are increases to be expected for these services. So for waste treatment, for example, example, there's an increase of $27 on people's bills this year. And for sewer services, there's also a $25 increase per unit as well. Rates for water supply and septic tank emptying remain unchanged in comparison to last year. Increases in the sewer and waste treatment services that are being provided. This year, the municipality also had to present its three-year plan for investments, which is a law here in Quebec to have to present this plan. And the investments for 2025 are expected to be at around $16 million. So the projects on the table for 2025 include repairs to Fulford Road, construction of sidewalks, construction of pickleball courts. I know there are a lot of pickleball fans out there, especially in the Lac-Brome Lake area, and repairs to various roads and pathways. All of this information, though, can be found on the Town of Brome Lake website for those who are looking for more details about what's changed in comparison to last year and what the budget looks like moving ahead into 2025.
Got it. All right. Let's talk about ride service Nez Rouge, also available in your region.
Yeah, so I wanted to highlight this because this year our area's host organization, which is La Baraque, the youth center in Granby, has actually expanded its territory and will be serving up to 33 different municipalities in Brome, Missisquoi and Oyamaska this year, including Brome Lake. So for those listeners that might not be aware, Nez Rouge is a volunteer ride service offered by youth and amateur sports organizations throughout the province of Quebec to ensure that people are getting home safely from their celebrations during the holiday season. So Nez Rouge also serves as a fundraising opportunity for these organizations in order to continue supporting their projects and initiatives in the community. So this year, La Baraque has around 200 volunteers that are giving their time to ensure that people here have a safe ride home, and they're always looking for more people to get involved. This Nez Rouge ride service is, of course, going to financially support the activities and initiatives that they have planned for the youth that attend La Baraque. So if you need a safe ride home this holiday season, Nez Rouge has a website where you can look up your location to find your local horse organization. The contact information is there, as well as the organization's ride schedule and when they're offering the service. So this is offered a little bit everywhere in the Eastern Township. So you just have to go online to see if your area is served to ensure that you have a safe ride home.
Self-promotion as well. Jimmy Desireau, who's a spokesperson for Nez Rouge for the Eastern Townships, with me on the interview of the week at 5:10 today.
It's great timing. So yes, your listeners will get to hear all about it.
All right. Have yourself a great holiday period and thank you again. And we see you in mid-January.
Yes, you too, Daniel. Wishing you all the best to you and your family.
Township's weather forecast, periods of snow. Low minus 10 tonight. Tomorrow, cloudy. High minus 10. Saturday night, clear skies, low minus 20. Sunday, sunshine, high minus 14. Long range sunshine, high minus 12 for Monday. And for Christmas Day from here, clouds, 30% chance of flurries, high minus 2. Ed Humphrey from Townshipers Association, just after 5 o'clock. The interview of the week is Jimmy Desireau. He's a spokesperson for Nez Rouge in the townships. On the interview of the week, 5:30 sports with Bob Halsall for John Edwards, 5:40 arts and culture with Sonia. On the Friday drive, it's CJMQ 88.9 and CIDI 99.1.